Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we witness openly there's no creator worthy of worship, no deity except Allah, the one Lord who's created the universe and all that's in it. And we witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon the Prophet, is the last messenger and prophet, last prophet and messenger to all the world. Dear beloved people, you know, welcome to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. I'm your host, Delacy Umar. We have Professor Rabbani. He's back in the States. Michael Hameen as well. You know, when we say about our prophet, Prophet Muhammad is our prophet, but Allah's messenger. Because we as also people can be messengers. But we can't be prophets. We can take this message that the prophet brought and share it with the world. And that's what we do. That's just one of our main objectives here, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, is to share with you, the listeners, how this great religious religion of this great religion of Al-Islam brings to the table useful principles for success in daily life. And we invite our skeptics or people who may not accept that reality to take one principle and try it. Take the principle of Tawheed, the oneness, and start thinking on oneness. No God but God. This pure concept, the power that will bring to the mind of the individual if one were to just see God as one universal, different from everything, creator of everything, but not affected by anything, and have that as a focus, oneness, and then see humanity as one. Just start looking at humanity as one creation, and we all brothers and sisters sharing this planet together. Powerful concepts. Just to think on it is very powerful. Not to mention the discipline of prayer, worshiping and accepting that we are created beings and have a creator that deserves respect and obedience from us to that creator. Yes, and sadaqah, charity. Zakah is called in the religion where we have what is called, some identify it as the poor due. Some, what's due to the poor. It's not our money. It's the poor due, 2.5% of the income, your income after all your expenses and some little cushion for you to have in emergencies, et cetera. 2.5% of what remains with you after that is due to the poor. And then fasting Ramadan is coming up this month, soon, few weeks. The discipline of fasting, sacrificing, rejuvenating your spirit, your soul, your spirit, your physical endurance, etc., to obey God. And then the concept of the Hajj, this universal order where one humanity is emphasized, where we pay attention to the essence of the human creation by turning to an orientation, obeying God, one humanity, obeying God, seeing every human being as a brother, sister, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The social reform movement of the Hajj, I like to look at it as such. So these very simple concepts, just take one of them, take any one of them, and practice it, and tell me what the results are. That's to the Muslims as well as the non-Muslims to look at those things. So this wanted to just share that this morning. My spirit led me to just to reiterate what this program is about, how we want to show how the concepts in our religion and the emphasis put on it prepares us to be successful in this dynamic, always moving dynamism of this Western culture, and how it's always moving and challenging the individual to keep his sanity, his life intact, et cetera, et cetera. So welcome, dear listeners, and welcome, Professor Rabbani, back to the States. And Michael, welcome to you as well.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, peace and blessings, Professor. So we wanted to talk about today, we wanted to look at the historic significance of what we went through as a people. This is our historic month that's allocated for us to reflect on. I think we should reflect on, we talked last week about how the religion of Al-Islam made a contribution to the freedom struggle. And now we want to circle back on that topic, but looking at our challenges and sacrifices that we had to endure to progress in a society such as America here. And also we want to use that example to also encourage our Palestinian brothers and sisters to remain strong and to see the parallel and to see how there's always future at the end. There's a bright light at the end of the tunnel. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. He can restore. He's the restorer. He can restore what's lost. And he's always, Allah is always working to behind the scenes to produce another picture that's bigger than the one we see. So, Professor, please share some thoughts with us on the topic and welcome back and some thoughts you may have on current situations.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salamu alaykum.
God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Witness that there is no God worthy of worship other than Allah, the God of the heavens and the earth and all that's in between. And we thank Allah for our worship as human beings, as Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, family and companions, all of us who follow in his footsteps. We also thank Allah for our leadership in America. We were blessed to be given knowledge, understanding of religion and our freedom struggle that was given to us through Imam W.D. Muhammad, Humble Elijah Muhammad, Professor Farad Muhammad, and Sister Clara Muhammad. May Allah forgive them of their sins and grant them the highest level of paradise. I mean. What you were saying, which is very important in terms of freedom struggle, and the Palestinian brothers and sisters who are going through some very hard times, give them some encouragement as always to look at what happened to our people in America. 250 years of plantation life and enslavement, and another 100 years or so with the Reconstruction, how these two get a hand in dominating and trying to formulate and to break us away from the one that created us, and that we were patient and we persevered. In fact, when we came in, we were so patient and persevered, Allah gave us men and women to enlighten us, to give us hope and aspirations and energy, overcome the difficulties our people have faced in terms of the history of lynching, the age of Jim Crow, and the strategy and the subtlety of Reconstruction, and how that was used also to punish the northern the southern man, as well as the northern people. And, of course, he came into this religion after being given doses of these particular ideas that caused us to think that God was white, and that that was another punishment that we picked up. But because Allah has given us the opportunity to purify our souls, and we stuck to the fact that we are children of Creator. Creator sent this message to us to live. That is the message of Al-Islam. And we know that by reading Quran and following the life pattern of Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, he told his followers, Satan has given up all hope of getting and deceiving you. And that this this deception has been countered Almighty God's mercy. And but he said that Satan, he won't be looking to harm us in big things, but the little things are the things that harm us.
Yes,
he
be
gave
careful
us,
of the little
he
things.
Also, yes, he gave us a do. He said, always remember, Creator, the du'a that we are given to say five times a day. Allah, it's Muhammad, the followers of Muhammad. He was blessed Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim. In a more clear area, perspective, Allah, it's the Christians and the Jews, as you have blessed the Muslims. See, the people of Abraham, the followers of Abraham, we've always prayed that he would bless the Muslims, Muhammad, the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, and all of us who follow his steps, and followers of Abraham. Abraham, followers of Abraham are the Jews and the Christians. So to solve these problems, we have to come together as believers. And these believers have to come and counter schemes of Shaitan, the little schemes of Shaitan, and be patient, and we can overcome a lot of the sufferings that our people are having abroad as well as home.
Thank you for that, Professor, and welcome again back to the States. We're very happy to have you back home. And Michael, please share with us some thoughts. Salaam alaikum to you. Share with us some thoughts you may have.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum to you both and to the listening audience. Before I make my comments, for those that were on the program last night, Sister Martha Nyla Abdullah's program, I want to apologize. I was not really happy with the way that I disagreed, and I'm working on myself to do a little better in terms. But when I hear certain language that's not in line with what I'm reading from the Quran, I just feel the urge that I have to, you know, at least make a correction and then leave it alone after that, you know, at least, you know, correct it. So in reference to the topic today, the previous scripture, the followers of the previous scripture, they have this saying, God's way is not our way. So how is it that he permitted his prophet, his messenger, and prophet Abraham to leave his wife and child in the desert? And then you hear, how is it that a just God could allow the Palestinian people to be slaughtered in a genocidal focus? How does that happen? Well, God's way is not our way. This creation, our life, was given to us by the Creator of all life. He has a particular plan, direction, that he's moving creation. And you hear people saying, well, life is not fair. Well, certainly it is. But life is also bitter. Life is sweet and life is bitter. Life is beautiful and life can be very, very, very ugly. But that's the nature of how it's constructed. And out of that bitterness of life come individual men and women, groups of men and women that want to bring about not just freedom, but justice. human being is callous, to be savage, you know, to not evolve and grow into a morally excellent, intellectually excellent being. But when we read scripture, we get a better understanding that we're going somewhere. If we look at the past, it was much, I was thinking about Genghis Khan and others in history that slaughtered human beings indiscriminately, and some with a method. You know, Adolf Hitler was methodical in his gassing and killing the Jews that he put in the concentration. He was very methodical. It was very methodical, and there were others that were very methodical in their evils. In America, chattel slavery was very methodical in emptying out our ancestors' connection with Africa. Oh, I should say conscious connection with Africa. And I think I just need to stop right there.
Yes. So, yes, thanks, Michael, for reminding us of how these things happen. You know, as you were speaking, I was thinking about Surah Kaf, that we are encouraged to read every Friday. Alhamdulillah, American Muslim 360 puts it on the air 6:30 every Friday. Surah Kaf is recited in Arabic and English, meaning English translation. But in that particular surah, Moses was seeking to gain a mysterious knowledge. He was on a journey to gain a mysterious knowledge from Dhul-Qiddr. He was a special messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who was carrying out missions one of the things that was discovered that he was doing things to preempt circumstances that might occur, and even in loss of life killed the person. Matter of fact, Moses was just, why did you kill this innocent person? And that at the end of the journey, Dhul-Qiddr, he explained to him that he was acting on God's permission to do these things, and he gave explanations of why. And even up to erecting a wall back up that it fell down, and Moses was very impatient. He had to, at the end, Dhul-Qiddr said, this is the parting between you and me. Because he had asked him before not to question him about the things he wouldn't have knowledge of. He wouldn't have no knowledge to understand these mysterious things that are happening. And that's the same situation we have to face that's just a brief hint into that. And anyone who like to refresh that, go to chapter 18 of the Holy Quran and read that chapter. It addressed many, 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 many circumstances that deal with life, deal with his, with God's compassion, his power in over creation and human weaknesses, et cetera, et cetera. You could see the whole gamut in that gamut of life, for lack of a better word, the circumstances that support life in that chapter of the Quran 18, and men of power and how they exercise power, et cetera, et cetera. Then a good description of the Creator. Very powerful surah to review once a week for Muslims, especially. We are recommended by our prophet peace and blessing to be upon him, to review that chapter of the Quran, chapter 18, Surah Kaf. It's called The Cave. So that was, I was reminded of that there are circumstances we don't have a grasp over. So let's take a break right here, Michael, if we can, and then we'll circle back and hear some more from Professor Rabbani Muhammad on this topic. And we were talking earlier, Professor, about the circumstance. I think Professor Feinstein, I think his name was, who was talking to someone about the Jewish experience and how, you know, just in the 1940s, they were under tremendous suffering. And now we see here in the 2024 and 2023, they are putting others under tremendous suffering. So let's just go back to take a break here. You're listening to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain Information is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference and AM 360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
And we're back.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Thank you for those public service announcements, Michael. So, Professor, please share some comments, if you would. You know, we are looking at the similarities of our struggle for freedom, and we want to empathize with our Palestinian community as well, and let's share this comparison. So I guess what I was reflecting on, you were telling me earlier about this speech of Dr. Professor Feinstein, and it's and how he was talking about, and by the way, he is Jewish, and he was talking about the terrible tragedy of what the Jewish people are doing in this instance in Palestine. Share some comments on that with us, please, and whatever else you might want to share.
I like Dr. Feinstein because of his truthfulness, and even though it might impact the sensitivity of Jewish people who have had the luxury, I would say, of dimming Germans who in concentration camps and the different instruments that they carried on while they were in those concentration camps. He has always been a good partner about fairness. Like we were talking about earlier, in the 1930s, whose thinking was of superiority of the flesh, of supremacy, the Aryan excellence in terms of everything, until I guess Jesse Owens showed him who was the boss, athletics, and they also knew that during the turn of the century, the 1960s, 1860s, 1870s, 1880s, that the African Americans' intellectual, creative genius was suppressed once the emancipation occurred. The knowledge and the creativity, the genius of our African-American forefathers began to create and invent, have more patents ever before. And people with patents for mechanical, electrical, and all types of inventions, the hair comb, the ironing board, all of these things, cooking utensils. All of them were created by African Americans, but not given credit. Intellect, genius, that God put in every human being, once it's released and freedom brought to it, then you have a change in the whole creation, a whole environment. Dr. Feinstein was talking to a group of Jews. And Dr. Feinstein was talking about some of the things that were occurring in Palestine, and he got a response from one of the students. One of the students started talking about the Holocaust and how the Jews were 6 million Jews were killed in the and how they were treated and so forth and so on. And she started crying, and he said, No. Those crocodile tears won't impact me whatsoever. We're doing, and we're talking about Jewish people, we're doing to the Palestinian people akin to what the Germans had done to our own people just in 100 years ago. Why is it that we can't see the correlation between the two? And you look at what happened, you have not only Jewish people were interned, but Polish people who were Polish also taken to encampments and gas. But also what we call Roma. Most people, they refer to their name of to call them gypsies, but these people called Roma. They were also killed in those internment camps. Few Africans were also involved in that in terms of their being killed and experimented on. Now they just didn't kill them in internment. They experimented them, medical experiments, taking out their flesh. Out new medical devices. Those were some of the things that the third, they call it the third right. First right, you have, if that's the third right, what happened, what was the second and what was the first? First right, the Holy Roman Empire. It was referred to as the first right. Second right, the German country that was under Bismarck, First World War. That was the second under the World War One. The Third Reich, of course, is what brought about Hitler and his menacing countrymen. Some of the things that they did in those concentration camps, and I happened to visit Poland and to Germany and Poland to these concentration camps to see for myself. I'm telling you, the first thing I said, how could anybody, any humanity, do such things, children, women, and elderly people? How could anyone do that? And then I saw how that Third Reich germ, I don't want to call that, since it's a germ, a virus, I won't connect that with Germany. I'll just say the thinking, idea. How did you not miss that in your education? To have that come into your own thinking and not say anything. This is what Dr. Feinstein was trying to convey to them. Okay?
Yes. Yes. Empathy, we talked about that on this program quite a bit. Empathy and how that the lack of empathy has affected the society. When you were speaking about the person not being able to differentiate one wrong from another, you know, Allah talks about it in the Quran in language that not to let your hatred for a people make you swerve from doing justice. You can't let your feelings and dislike for circumstances not make you look at the big picture and let you do an injustice trying to straighten out what you would say if somebody did you. You know, you can't treat people badly because you were treated badly. And this is just the human side of things that we have to look at. So, Michael, please share some thoughts, if you would, on this. Are you muted?
Yes, sir. We do have a caller in the queue.
Okay. At your discretion.
Okay. Caller, I think this is Brother Bilal Abdullah.
Say your
name, where you calling?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
assalam.
Raleigh Masulam. I'm glad I've been ambassador and hit the sail again. So praise be to Allah for his mission and the good work he's doing and what he's bringing back to us. We just gonna bring us to something because of the mentality that, you know, the things that we suffering in this day and time, right? You know, we came from a bad circumstance condition during slavery, right? And then we accept a way of life that wasn't supposed to have been probably spiritual upliftment and our protection as a people, and it wasn't. So here we have a situation where the church was being formed, and then the races inside the church still were treating us bad inside of that. So we moved out. We formed the African Methodist Episcopalian Church, and that all that did was increase our fervor as a group to be more into Christianity. And believe me, those administration, they was in ignorance of what they were doing. So it was set up, and we suffered the effect of that, our communities. So here we go. This is something that I'd like to share. Our wealth increases as our social life improves, building houses, roads, businesses, take care of people living in social groups. We have scriptural knowledge, science and technology, and higher education, utilizing government to help people in poor condition, also because of our active participation. Culturally upright, our youth, we can't afford to lose. Hip-hop must be cleaned up or stopped. Okay, support each other, and let's do it right. Don't ask for Muslim or the believer's price. Be a customer that has marketing insight. Respect the honest business person life. Reach out to them. They might have financial problems. Stop trying to get over. They don't believe in superstitions or 4-D clover. Expect probably best. This is a serious test. Running game. Are we insane? Join with the brother and buy some land. Have a productive family. Probably is a disease. Trying to get over must cease. It's not easy to establish peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you for sharing, brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes.
Alaikum assalam. If I may, I found this quote by Margaret Mead. She's an anthropologist, a scientist studying human development, societal development, from primitive stages up to the civilized groupings of people. And she says, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. So that similar quote is given of her in terms of human progress, that progress is never done by the many, it's always the few.
Yes.
And you could also identify that in terms of the L raisers, because the Zionist Jews don't represent all of the Jewish people. The media is not sharing with us that not only are large protests taking around the world, but it's also taking place in Israel. They are not satisfied with the Zionist leadership. You know, they're protesting, you know, his changing of the court system, or desire to change the court system, and really kind of establish himself as a strong man, speaking about Netanyahu.
Yes.
You know, and so, but this is something, if we look back again, if we look behind us, even in terms of Mother Nature, you know, you got tigers and lions and, you know, bears, but they don't represent. They're few in number, and because of something in the human being, they become even fewer. Some of them are endangered because of human beings' desire for trophies and, you know, killing the bears and the tigers and so forth. You know, so if we look at the logic of nature, how it operates, and God, the creator of this life, is moving the life from small, weak expression to a stronger, more organized, from simplicity to more structured and more, what do you call it, more complex, you know, structures. And so, you know, that God created is moving in the direction. And there have been many that thought that they could destroy the world.
Yes.
The one who created the world is not going to allow, you know, man thinking himself as being self-sufficient. God has always been in control. And this is the life of the believer. And lastly, I want to say this, because this, I was in class earlier, you know, when you called. I was in class, Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman. And he was sharing something that I was aware of years ago. You have within the religious community people that don't believe in God. Not really. They're not really believers. You got them among Muslims. You got them in Christians, Jews. When you look at their behavior, when you look at the devotional attention, you see that they don't really believe in a supreme being. You know, some of them might be decent in their human interactions, but they don't. You know, when God is mentioned, you know, God, Allah describes how believers, you know, see God and how we respond to the Creator. And those that don't, it's another behavior. You know, and I'll stop there.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And certainly that is definitely something that we can verify. You know, I've heard the statement say you're a believer, but do you really believe? Do you really believe? You say you're a believer, but do you really believe? So that requires action. You know, mu'min is, in our religion, is a verb of a person who's acting on faith. Not just saying it, he's acting, or he or she is acting on faith. So, Professor, we circle back to you again. Please share some thoughts you may have.
I wanted to just dovetail to what you said and what Michael said about Allah is always in control, and the leadership religion is always blocking faith. In the sky from the common people, and they have I've seen this movement, YouTube, hadith, they're concentrating on hadith, not speaking about what Allah has revealed in the Quran. He protects. And I look at the people when I travel throughout this earth. I look at the religious leadership. And now you can't tell the religious leadership unless you see them dressed up. You're not going to see religious leadership in the actions and behavior like you just mentioned.
Yes, sir.
What they substitute for that, what substitute for that, their costume.
Yeah.
Costume. Yeah, their costume. They see when the poor people costume, they say, "Oh, this man is a man of God, a religious man. We need to give them support, money." Now they might be sleeping on the street. They will get up when they see the costume, and they will respond. I was in Saudi Arabia, place I go, Saudi Arabia, or go to Europe or Africa. You wouldn't know whether the person was of the worst type or a highly religious man unless you saw his dress. Now, the people understand the psychology of seeing these things and to control masses of people works. Now they're building large churches and large masjids, places like it's about big, large masjids and large churches. You go right outside the door of the church or the masjid, you will see people lined up on the streets, their hands out, begging for assistance. I'm thinking, I said, now the big gates that they have, and these places are gated. So a lot of the people sometimes can't even get in to worship inside the structure. I was in Morocco looking for a place, hoping that I would get a chance to go to the big masjid, take Maghrib. Now, I saw the big minaret, so I figured I could walk over there and follow the street pattern to go see to make the prayer. Go to the large masjid. All the doors are locked. All the doors in Morocco. This is the largest masjid almost in the west coast of Africa. I'm looking to make salat in Morocco. The doors and everything is locked up. I went and I walked down the streets and I asked some of the people that were sitting in the cafe looking at the European football. Okay. Where's the master? Where are you going to make Salat? What's Salat? He says, down the street, you left. I go down the street. Here I see the brothers and sisters, brothers out in the alley in the Salat. It's a little nasty alley. Down the street, is everybody's sitting around looking at the football game. When they say, or the soccer game, European soccer game. I thought of maybe they were cheering for their own team. They were cheering for the French and the English and the Italian leagues. So that tells me that something is wrong. Something is wrong with the religious leadership is not talking. I mean, you got this big masjid. And I'm up there making salat in the alley, on nasty filled alley.
Yeah.
So when you see people with the bonnet and the kufi, the long robe and the mishla, my goodness, make way, make way.
I was just thinking. Michael, you said we got a caller. Is that what I heard?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, I'll just share this, then we go to our caller. When you were saying that, Professor, I remember we used to be sitting around rooting for the Indians. we were watching TV. None of us was on TV, so hey, we decided we were just going to root for the Indians. We knew they were going to lose. We knew they were going to lose. But anyway, okay, we were playing outside. We were playing. I want to be the Indian. I want to be the Indian. We get a battle. We win a battle somewhere. You know what I mean? Yes, sir. Cowboys and Indians, huh? Yeah. So let's go to our call.
So happy to hear about the. So happy to hear about the Mr. Custer.
That's right. That was a shame, you know. And now we are patriots, but they, you know, they were treating us so bad, we wasn't going to root for these people, you know what I mean? But anyway.
They were doing stealing the people's land.
Yeah. Same old story. Same old story. Let's go to our caller.
Mm-hmm.
So caller, state your name, where you're calling from. Please share some thoughts you may have.
Assalamu alaikum. This is
Alaykum As-Salaam. Yes, sir.
Allah. Calling in from St. Louis, Missouri. The statement that people claim to believe in God, and you look at their behavior, and you see no reflection of that.
Yes.
We are cutting short the full statement concerning belief in God. The Arabs in the days of Jahiliyyah, they were aware, Allah, of an invisible God that they could not see or touch or manipulate. They were aware of it. But yet they still had idols that they fashioned with their own hands. One of the main questions that was brought to our beloved Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him.
Yes.
Is this, you mean to tell us, Muhammad, that when we die, that Allah is going to bring us back to life? These dry bones, he's going to really bring us back to life and hold us accountable for what we do? Oh, Muhammad, you are delusional. So that's the second part of belief in God. We have a tendency to leave off those who believe in God and the day of accounting, that all matters, small or great, still be inquired into. So that day of judgment, we need to put a little bit more effort in that, so that inshallah that will influence the behavior, that we will not get away. These things, you will be a just God shall judge you. So just not enough to say those that believe in God. I want to complete the full statement. Those who believe in God and the day of accounting.
Do right.
Yes.
I'll stop right there, my brother.
Yes.
Thank you.
You know, I was listening to Democracy Now, and a Palestinian woman who had lost her child, her daughter. She said just what you were saying, ma'am. She said on the day of judgment, I'm gonna ask about my daughter. I'm gonna ask that you're going to be accountable for this. You know, that she's never going to forgive them for what they did to her daughter. She's going to go before God and ask God to give her justice. Yes. So these things are horrible, and they have consequences. They have consequences. And, you know, a lot of
That's
people
right.
think they're getting away.
Yeah.
There's no escape.
You know, some people will leave church and go straight to the gambling casino.
Yeah.
You know, go home and beat their wives, misuse their children, steal something. So that day of accounting is, we want to bring that up too in belief in God. I'll stop right there,
absolutely.
My brother.
Yeah.
Thanks. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
We have a return caller. I'd like to make a comment. We have a repeat caller.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah. I think I mentioned it a week or so ago. In the Holy Bible, Jesus confronts religious leadership. And it holds true today, like my earlier comments. He condemned these leaders. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, you know, represent leadership that they were no. In fact, he said, you know, you talk about Abraham as your father, you know, connected with righteous leadership. But you of your father the devil, you lie, and your life is not rooted in truth. You don't abide in the truth. Your father was a liar in the beginning, and you just like the dead.
Huh? Yeah, he did. You know, alhamdulillah, our prophets they didn't. They didn't bite their tongue. They were very, very strong in how they perceived and projected what God's will and plans were for humanity. They really spoke against these evils, and we have to do
Absolutely.
That. You know, this is part of faith that we speak out against these things and be accountable that we are speaking out. You know, Imam Kareem read an article from the. From the Conference of Imams, and I would encourage all of us to try to get that and respond in some way to give our voice to the support for what is right. We have to be supporters of what is right. We can't just be witnesses, you know, just watching events happen. You know, we have to be active. We have to be active participants. The levers are people who are active. Let's go to our caller, Michael.
Okay. All right. Welcome back.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah.
They say that finance costs about 50% of the divorce that we have here in America. And so I want to give a little few things on this. The businessman should be bound for clear business transaction. The buying and selling activity should be on mutual consent and not under coercion. Islam strictly prohibits such dealing in which both the parties are not clear. Justice, honesty, and public welfare are the pillars of Islamic business ethics. These values have two major roots, belief in and devotion to Allah, the earth's trusteeship that grounds moral accountability, the business values of productivity, hard work, and excellence are encouraged. However, at the heart of various injunctions relating to business transactions are the imperatives of lawfulness, honesty, and fair play. Products or services must be lawful and produced in lawful ways, causing no undue harm to others or to the environment. Competition, distribution, and consumption must be lawful as well. Lawful behavior is enforced by consciousness of Allah. Supportive social norms and government control. Islamic norms may not be uniformly or strictly followed, yet they provide a helpful background to practitioners and researchers. The unity principle brings faith and attitude all together as worship, including work and in business. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. So, Professor, let's get back to the topic. Circle back with us, please. On
we've got 28 minutes.
28.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, let's take a break. Let's take a break here, Michael, please. And you're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice is protected. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Greetings. This is Priscilla Lukta of the University of Islam and Clara Muhammad School National Alumni Association. We support CWSC and AM360 because of their support of our group intellect. From the Model Communities National Resource Directory and Speakers Bureau to American Muslim 360 Broadcasting and more. Join in helping to build our national intelligentsia. If not me and you, then who? Visit CWSC.us today to make your tax-deductible gift at 910-317-0297. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Zabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah alayh, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So, thank you, Michael, for those PSAs. Professor, please circle back here with us and, you know, we were talking about faith and accountability, and I think you and I had an earlier conversation we were talking about having this idea and the concept, accountability to a creator, is and how that's so important to achieving world peace. Let's just say that I'll use that statement. You didn't say that statement, but I'm saying how much that influences how the outcome of things will be. Share some thoughts on that, if you would.
If we follow what Allah has said, it says those who believe in one God establish regular prayer, work righteous good deeds, their reward, and believe in the last day, their reward is with their Lord. They should not fear nor grieve. So you once you begin to establish an institution, generates good works, you see. And individually, you know, we are always striving to come up with new ways to help the orphans, the widows, the poor, the wayfarer, and those that are in need. Those things, you know, motivate, at least I could say that, it motivates me to care for the poor and the downtrodden. So we are looking at a day in which we have will come before our Lord and make an account. And we would like to have these deeds that we did while we were individually and as an institution. In other words, when I say institution, I'm talking about a group working together to ease the plight. People might not know it better, or they don't know how to get out of the constrictions of these small things. It is our people, the African American people, who we see being turned into people who are actually not caring about what they say, when they say it, and how they say it. And this, we're talking about righteous, good people. We don't need to dress up in a strange garb. We have to dress in the righteous garb, doing of good things, the maintaining of a discipline. That discipline is to please God, to please Allah, and to join unto those people who want to help in this cause. And I just came back from Ethiopia, and I had two or three people helping me with the orphans, the little orphans. I mean. And then the kids who had cancer. So if you do start doing work, people will come and help you. And yeah. They will enjoy doing it. And I'm talking about Christians, Orthodox Christians, and Muslims.
Yes.
Together.
Yeah.
Working together.
And it happens in America. We have seen it in America with this situation. The Palestinians are getting help from all mm-hmm. corners of the earth. You know,
exactly.
People are really rallying behind that. You know, I was thinking about the programming we did on sacred unity mm-hmm. and how we were talking about the importance of unity. And this has been really something that has hurt us tremendously. In terms of families, mm-hmm. in terms of communities, you know, we don't have that unity in our communities that we need to progress successfully as family, as neighbor, as friends, as supporters and helpers of each other. I think every family and every community should have a sense of belonging to a group experience. And I think that's something we got to work more. We got to work more for this sacred unity. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
See ourselves as one people.
I was in Atlanta. I went to Juma in Atlanta yesterday, and
yes.
had the opportunity to sit down and have dinner, or have lunch with a couple of the believers. And I was asking them about the, you know, Atlanta, you know, some of the political situations in Atlanta, and, you know, Atlanta's all, you know, with the different communities, you know. And I said, I know that they have a mayor there that's a young brother. Mm-hmm. I said, they said, well, you know, he won by like 2,500, almost 25,000 votes. And I said, well, you guys, you brothers and sisters can almost rule Georgia by the number of people that I see here in the masjid. If everybody in the masjid on Juma just voted, I said, man, you can run Atlanta.
Yeah,
and,
2,000 there. Yeah.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But look at the impact they can have. You know, if we talk about sacred unity, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sacred unity, we apply that sacred unity to change the condition of a people, the environment, by having that sacred unity of voting for a person. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, by the way, when I went to that fundraiser, the mayor was there.
Mm-hmm.
A young mayor you're talking about,
right.
I think it's Franklin. I believe his name is Franklin. But he was there. He spoke at the event. So they are definitely supporting and working. And he was very highlighting that one of the Muslim imams, I forget the name, wasn't Suleiman. It was the imam Mansour, I think, before him, how he worked to help him get elected, you know.
Okay.
And so they that community. But what I saw, and I wanted when I was talking with you about it, the peace that's in that community, the peace when you go in there. Like we were sitting in the restaurant, and you know how you be in, they have long lines waiting.
Yes.
But those young people were waiting so patiently; they weren't all irritated. You know, they were just, there was a certain calmness I saw that I thought was worthy of mentioning. Sakina, that's the term, right? That special peace God has granted to the believers. And I saw that in that community. It's the first time I had seen it to that degree with young people and older people, you know, that everybody was so patiently waiting their turn.
Right.
Nobody pushing or trying to jump the line or irritated. I got to go or this or that. Such a calmness there, and I thought that's really worth commemorating. When you see large numbers of people, you know, most times you don't see that tolerant behavior that's
right.
there. But those young people, I was very impressed with that, and I felt it in my spirit. Not only did I see it, I felt it. I felt that calmness in the community there, and they are making, they are doing some great things in that community. It's worth note. It's really noteworthy that the leadership, Suleiman, Dr. Suleiman, Brother Rashad, Abdul Rahman, they are doing a great job with this young leadership that's bringing us forward and attracting people, like minds.
Mm-hmm.
So we see this sacred unity coming into being, but we need it in every sphere and every corner. So Michael, please share some thoughts you may have, please.
Yes, and we've got 15 minutes, and we invite audience to press 1 to make comments.
before we go off the air.
And this is African American History Month. Professor, what do you call it, Human History Month?
Yeah, I call it Human History Month with the contributions of the African American.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, that's another thing. I was looking at someone was saying American, black history is American history. You know, we've been such an integrated part of this development in this country. I remember the imam talking about one time on the topic, he was speaking about how the oppressing of our people civilized this nation. Brought civility. And you know, I was going into a restaurant yesterday. There was me and my wife and I, and it was two Caucasians there at the door. One of them opened up the door. He said, "I'm opening up the door for the ladies," and he opened the door. Then the other one on the other side, he said, "I'm opening up the door for both the ladies and the man." You know. And we walked through the door. You understand? I had my cane. Yeah. So, but he is now. These are Caucasians, right? Yeah. I had my kufi on, my cane in my hand. You know, and maybe the one on the other side looked at my kufi. I'm opening up the door for the lady. And the other one, he opened up the door. He said, "I'm opening it up for both of them." They're both doors open up, right? And we walk through, right?
There you go.
Two doors, one on the side, one on this side, right? Allah opens doors, right?
Exactly. You know, most of the Caucasians in America and throughout the world, they are afraid to acknowledge the truth, because they've been grown up. When they're growing up, they're taught not to make friends with the Negroes.
No. Mm.
That's almost like a taboo. America is not great until the African American became free physically.
Yes.
Started making contributions. The contributions that the African American made, the contribution for the world.
That's right.
The thing
That's
we
right.
did with the world. That's what. Now, if they talk about they want to make America great again, and free enslaved mind. That's what they fear more than anything is Al-Islam.
Take care of the poor.
Frees your mind, brother. Frees your mind and you become when your mind is free, you activate the excellence of the brain that God gave you to engage this creation.
Yes.
That happens.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
That's what the purpose of these people talking about woke. Oh my goodness, you talking about woke? when all the people in America wake up to what the potential that God put in them, and work together, what happens with NASA? NASA brings people from all over the world to work on spaceships and different new technology. That's why I always said, China, you can't catch America. Why? Because America is inclusive. I don't care what people say. They're inclusive. And when you bring people of diverse talents, of diverse cultures, and diverse viewpoints, you come up with the best.
Yes.
I was just talking about GPS. The African-American female created the GPS.
I saw that. And you know, that's another thing we were talking about, another hidden figure. You know, these ideas and accomplishments that our people have made to this country, and I'm not what you call a black old, I call them black old, always black man did this, black man did this. No, no, no. But, you know, the human, the poor, the striving poor has has made these contributions. And once you elevate the striving poor, then you're going to see the real picture that our Creator has for the progress of humanity. Once you elevate the poor.
Right.
Well, you know, Al-Ma'un, that surah, that chapter in the Quran, do you see the one who lies about religion? He repels the offering with harshness and neglects to feed the poor, neglects to help the poor.
Right.
You know, so where's your religion? If you're going to not exercise concern for the least of us, and you can see it in this terrible picture here with the Palestinian children and stuff being murdered on mass scales. Where's your religion? What is your faith? Where is it? Where's your heart? Where's your spirit? Where's your humanity? You know, if you're a human being, these things should trouble you. Yes.
There's humanity and their desire for a type of life is in the Bank of America, Chase Manhattan, and Wells Fargo.
Yeah, only but these people are the these young people are not taking it, bro. They are petitioning the colleges to boycott, to de-invest from funds that support this war machine, et cetera, et cetera. They are not happy with that. And you know, there's been already 49 mass shootings in this country in just this, a month and a half into the year, 49 mass shootings in America already. You know, mass shootings.
And that's the thing, and there's they know to stop it, but they don't. They're making too much money off of it. When there's a mass shooting, the gun lobby or the gun manufacturers sell more weapons. When they sell more weapons, they gain more profits, and the profits go to the NRA. NRA then gives money to the congressmen
politicians,
and senators.
Yeah,
it's an ongoing circle. That's why they will not. And then you put fear in the people, saying that the Negroes are going to come rape your women, your children.
Yeah.
They are the ones that are buying and selling body parts, snatching Africans off the streets, still young kids off the streets, snatching them off the streets, taking their body parts and throwing the young people who they took, throw them in the garbage, the dump.
Yes, just terrible.
That's all over Africa. Why? Because they're orphans, they're street kids.
Huh? Yeah. It's terrible.
People don't realize that. And it's happening here. It's happening here in America. Quiet is kept.
Yeah, it is. It is happening. That's why you see all these missing children and whatnot. It's not no mystery.
Right.
Yeah. So, Michael, please share some thoughts with us. How's our time?
We've got 5 minutes.
Yes, sir. Please share some thoughts with us, and we'll circle around and wrap this program up. Empathy and comparative, and I would say this to our Palestinian brothers and sisters. I know these are trying times, but know that young lady I mentioned about earlier, who says she's going to be accountable, she's going to ask Allah to give her justice for her daughter. She's not going to relinquish her right for justice for her daughter. And that spirit of resilience, that spirit of endurance, that spirit of turning to the Creator, Ni'ama Wakil, Allah is enough. Yes, He's our protector. So go ahead, Michael. Please share your thoughts.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Professor. You were about to chime in.
I was going to say that Allah does not put a burden on you that you cannot bear.
That's right. Yes. Go ahead, Michael, please.
Yes, sir. There's a book called A Child Called It, and it's the story of a man that experienced brutality from his mother. She was sick. She was an abuser, and she would beat him, lock him up in the basement, and isolated him. And he was finally freed from that situation, and he later on wrote his story about that abuse. But it's obvious that he maintained his innocence. And because of that, he was able to give, you know, to put in writing the kind of environment that produces. Now, that woman, you know, she will never have anything good to say about Jewish people. There's a colleague out of Alabama shared with me privately that he's an imam now, but he shared with me privately before he became imam that he had an uncle that was brutally lynched. And he said he'll never have anything good to say about Caucasians, but he was blessed for 20 some years as a technician for the telephone company to go into office spaces and have to interact with Caucasians, you know, in setting up their phone system. And you know, we've got these stories, you know, these stories, and there are certain environments that produce abusers. You know, they produce abusers, you know, that will harm. You may be starting off harming animals. There was a guy that lived in my neighborhood growing up. He would take lighter fluid and set cats and other things on fire. You know, it's just they're that's that gin. You know, that's you know, no human sensitivity. You know, there are people like that, you know, raping and killing and abusing. And, you know, the minority of people under God have a obligation to establish a better human environment. And it's under God's will and plan, you know.
Yeah.
And He already tells us in the Quran we're going to be successful. And, you know, people's sense of justice and wanting to do something about these evils, you know, comes alive when you hear and see these stories of brutality. You know, people have been sparked to really become advocates for justice, and under God. I'll stop there.
Yes, yes, and we see it so much coming freshly forward in the world now that people are speaking out, and I'm so proud of our young people that they are stepping up. They are really stepping up, denouncing these terrible situations. Professor, please share some final thoughts with us this morning.
The main thing that we need to really stress is education without myth or superstition. And that is the key to when we talk about education, I'm not just talking about into a classroom, the academic the classroom.
Yes.
Yeah. And that there are people striving to just take care of themselves and their families. And we who have knowledge and skills have to convey that to young people so that they won't get caught up in the material life and a false sense of wanting everyone to know they exist. This is sometimes becomes a trap. Attracts you. You see all these young kids wanting chains around their neck with diamonds. After 250 years of chains around your neck, and become a millionaire. Now you want to put a chain around your neck again?
Yeah. So we out of time, Professor. We got a program come right back behind us. So, Michael, please close us out right quick.
All our guidance among those you've guided the right. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you give us and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge and none can judge against you. And those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Amen.
Salaam alaikum, dear listeners. Salaam alaikum to you, Rabbani and Michael. Alhamdulillah. Thanks.
Thank you.